Welcome, Liberty, evening service. Obviously, I had the privilege of preaching the morning service, and now I get to do it in the evening service, which is double joy. And also, thank you, Sid. Good seeing you here. Sid's been a part of my walk for many years, and I'm sure of many of your guys' walk. I can relate, and I say this openly, that Sid's also been a shepherd in the house to so many people. And as we'll go into scripture and see how God relates to shepherds and how he calls shepherds and how they're important to him. So I'm going to kick off with the introduction that we're going through the Advent series, the coming of Christ, not the coming of gifts and food, although that's important. Sorry, can you yam me well enough? Yeah. Is it fine? Okay. And we so often get confused because the kids, the family, we all want the gifts, we want the food, but we forget about the giver of the gifts and the food. And that's the enemy trying to distract us. He's been trying to do that ever since Jesus' birth, making us want to forget, making us just get easy and relaxed. But as long as we still have breath in our lungs and the spirit in our hearts, in our bodies, we will preach Christ. And we won't stop. So, in saying, I'm going to kick off with our scripture of today, and it is in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy." As Matt said, joy for all the people. "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. We see a big difference here. We see out of the four Gospels, we've got Matthew talking about Joseph's dream and the wise men. Mark talking about John the Baptist and baptizing Jesus. John, you know that whole in the beginning theological opening scene? He likes to talk about that. But Luke wants to talk about the shepherds. And he's highlighting this as the first to hear the birth announcement. So why does Luke want us to be focused on the shepherds? Well, let's try and find out. Is God talking? Of course he is. Many knew of the Messiah was coming, but nobody knew the day and hour. And isn't that interesting that normally when your wife or someone has a baby, you know that it's going to come, but you don't know the day or the hour. Similarly, everyone knew Jesus was coming, but no one knew the day or the hour. And when this happens, when that child is born, you better be on your phone and you better text your grandmother or your mother or your father, because there's a hierarchy involved here. There's people that are important that need to know this message. And if you skip them, you're offending them. And you don't want to offend your grandmother, not at her age. You know what she'll say to you, and you know you're not getting the inheritance later. But Jesus flips the order. You would expect him to go to kings, go to priests, go to the rabbis, go to the important people of the town. The owners, the managers. In our day and age, we'd go straight to the, influencers. No. Who does he go to? The lowly, the rejected, the unclean, the overlooked. He skips all these important people that you would expect. Hey, I'm coming. My son's coming. And he goes to the lowly, the humble, the overlooked. If you think about your own life, would you reflect in the same way? Would you relate in the same way as being overlooked and unheard, not appreciated? Luke is teaching us that God values people differently than we do. He's going for something different. He's looking at the heart, perhaps. He's not looking at the outward appearance. He's not going for prestige. But why? How were the shepherds viewed? They were vital for the economy. They provided the food. They provided food, clothing, and obviously the sacrifices. But as we learn, they were socially lower class, unskilled, and again, unimportant. Rabbis even considered them as liars, and they couldn't even testify in court, some of them. But God doesn't listen to the rabbis, the kings, the people of power. He chooses them first. But let's look at who else God looks at in the scripture, because we're going to see that he's very involved with shepherds, and there's a lineage involved here. Let's go to the Old Testament, a bit of history here. The first shepherd, Abel. Who would have thought? Just as Cain brings some fruit, Abel brings the firstborn and the fat portions. Already we've seen the heart of a shepherd. We've seen responsibility. We've seen pride and care in relationship. We've seen Abel is doing something different. He's bringing God the best. Now, I don't know if you've ever babysitted a child, or you've had to look after pets. But when that owner comes home, if you don't return that baby or that specific thing that you had to look after in the same way that he gave it to you, you're not going to be in the good books. You're going to be in big trouble. And somehow, shepherding produces this in Abel. I've got a garden service company that normally looks after our stuff, but we had another guy called Andrew, and he would do all our gardening, and he would look after our stuff, and he did it particularly well. And he loved his work, and when you'd come home, it was just perfect. But he got sick and ill, and so I just said, Laura, to my wife, just get the garden service. My word, they come in, they just wreck the place. There's no tender, there's no care, there's no ownership. Abel, if you think about the way he gave his portion, there's a sense of ownership, of pride, of joy, of understanding that this was bought at a high price. Cain, on the other hand, was just in the garden, just doing the soil. And maybe he should have just said that this is also an important job. And if he realized that, perhaps would he have maybe given a better offering? We don't know. Then we're going to Abraham. Who else is there? Abraham. If there's anyone that understood faith, it was him. And if there's anyone here that's 75 and older, I've got good news. God can still use you. In fact, he can do big things through you. So, God calls Abraham 75. And Abraham believes in God's promises of a son at 100, Sarah around 90. Imagine that. In fact, Paul speaks about him as the father of faith. Again, we've seen a relationship that before God chose Abraham, he was shepherding flock. He was shepherding the sheep. The sheep had to trust Abraham wherever he took them, that they were going to go to green grass. Wherever he took them, they were going to go to good pastures. Wherever he took them, they were going to be protected from wolves and bad things. I wonder if Abraham understood that when God called him, he had to have faith, just like the sheep had to have faith with him. Him being a sheep had to have faith in God. And there's something of learning here with the shepherds. But there's more. You think God stops with shepherds? Jacob, who would later become Israel, the father of 12 tribes, he was shepherding the flock. And we read it in Genesis 31, 38 to 40. I've been with you for 20 years now. Your sheep and goats have not miscarried. I bore the loss of myself, the heat consumed me in daytime and cold at night, and sleep fled from my eyes. Yeah, we've seen shepherding produces endurance. It produces resilience, character. God can use that. God is using those attributes. He's using that in simple-minded people. He can use you. Who else does he go after that? Moses. Before Moses led Israel, who did he lead? He was leading sheep. If you think about sheep, they're stubborn. They wander off. They eat wrong things. Israel, for 40 years, Moses had to lead them through the desert. You think about someone that God calls, you would think that CV needs to be a little bit different. Needs to be a bit like Pharaoh, maybe. Or no, not Pharaoh, but someone more that's been in line with work and this and this. It goes to Moses the shepherd. Because maybe Moses understands sheep. Maybe Moses understands that people, just like sheep, are going to be stubborn, unwilling, just not coming to you when they call you. But there's something that God can use, and he's using simple people like Moses. David. Who was David known as? The shepherd king. Now you picture this. Samuel gets told to go to Jesse's house, which is the father of David. And Samuel now says, I need to pick one of your sons as king. Can you bring them to me? What does Jesse do? Jesse brings all the sons, the ones that are, just been doing all the great work in his eyes. They're the best in his eyes. Jesse just knows that these guys are made for kings. He actually forgets that David's the other son. What's David doing? David's killing lions. He's defending his sheep from bears. He's nurturing. He's sleeping at the entrance of the gate. He's watching over the sheep. Jesse doesn't consider this a great thing. Jesse doesn't even think that this is an attribute that God wants. But what do we know? That God doesn't look at that outward appearance. He looks at the inward. And David's his guy. And he tells Jesse, no, there's one more. Oh, David, bring him. That's who God wants. A shepherd. Can you picture Jesse just like, I'm sorry, and David saying, how dare you? You didn't even consider me. You didn't even think of me. Jesse being a shepherd himself would have been a shepherd himself. Didn't know this. We've seen that God is interested in something else. He's looking at the heart. Then you get another one, our last one. Amos in chapter 7, verses 14 to 15. Sorry that they're not on the screen, but if you'd like to reference it. Amos answered Amaziah, I was neither a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but I was a shepherd. But the Lord took me from tending the flock and said to me, go prophesy to my people of Israel. Now you think about a nervous job. You're going to maybe get stoned. You're going to, how would we say, the EFF nearly. And you're going telling them that they've been bad people. They have sinned. They need to turn their way. They need to trust in the Lord. They need to stop taking their own selfish gain for themselves. You need to be bold. You need to be very, very brave. Amos is a shepherd looking after, what are those trees called? Fig trees. No, God likes that. And he finds that character important. And he says, I can use that. Because maybe Amos is so inefficient. Maybe he's so self-reliant on God. Maybe he's just so self-needing God in this job that man gets out of the picture. I wonder if God chose someone that was ready for the job, prideful, I can do this, if he would even be in the picture. God doesn't look at outward appearance. He looks at man, you and I, that are scared to do the things that we don't want to do, like Moses and all these guys. God says, I will do it. I will be with you. And we see this in Amos. And God uses obedience, not titles. What did they actually do, the shepherds? John 10, verse 7. They were watching and guarding the sheep, stepped across the entrance, became the literal door. Constant protection and vigilance. Constant protection and vigilance. Who are you shepherding? Do you watch? Who do you watch over in prayer in your life? Who's that person that perhaps just needs a phone call or a meet up for a coffee? Are you vigilant? You know that movie Taken where the guy goes undercover and he looks for his daughter? Are you going undercover at night, still tired, but making sure your daughter, your son come home safe and sound? Because the enemy prowls like, you know what? And he's ready to devour all those. And the shepherds know this. But they also count and know each sheep by name. They name each sheep by personality. Some were timid, some were weak, some were wondrous, some were naughty, some were this. And they gave them each names. What's your name that God's given you? Do you have something that he calls you by? Do you know the people in your circle? Or do you just tolerate them? Do you know the wanderers, the ones that you know if it's just some slight hint of temptation, they're gone? Or just a look in the wrong direction, they wander off. Do you know these people? Shepherds would lead to pastures and still waters. That's what shepherds do. They lead. They don't follow. Sheep need someone to lead them to green water, to green pastures, to safe water, to good paths. Where are you leading your friends? Would you rather lead him on a yacht cruise with champagne and big party, or maybe just to a nice worship night, or a cell group session, or church? Or is that party more? Is that more better for them? Who are you leading? But not just that. Healing anointed injured sheep with oil. Sheep can't clean themselves. Shepherds had to clean their wounds. Oil for infection, parasites, head irritations. They carried the weak on their shoulders. Do you walk with the wounded people or do you avoid them? Are you carrying that guy or that girl on your shoulders? Are you going the extra mile for them? Are you putting your selfish desires away and going, let me walk a road with someone? They also had a rod and a staff, Psalm 23 verse 4. A rod to protect them. Not also one or two hidings, but protection. A staff for guidance and correction, for rescue. Do you correct your friends gently or do you mock them? Do you take that rod and you slander them? How dare you, you pathetic loser, you shame on you. Or do you guide them back in? Do you nurture them back in? Do you care for them? And here's the last one, seeking the lost. You had 100 sheep, but 99 is not enough because that one went away. Are you concerned about that one, that lost sheep? Or is 99 okay? Because I know that for the owner, it cost him a lot of money. And that lost sheep, if it means a lot to you, you'll go after it. Do we phone, check in on those that have wandered off? Or they're not worth it? Or is it too much time and effort and money? We also know, unfortunately, that you get bad shepherds. And who are these bad shepherds? Ezekiel 34, 1 to 10. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who take care only of themselves. This is a big warning. Leaders who fed themselves, ignored the weak, neglected the lost, and ruled harshly. Are you more worried about your meal or your friend's meal? You more worried about your weaknesses or someone else's weaknesses? Do you rule harshly like Pharaoh? Or do you lead with correction, love, and care? Jeremiah 23, verse 1 to 2. Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture. Jesus says, it's mine. It's not yours. They misled people. Wanted more, spoke of prophets, and they didn't confront sin. Dangerous, dangerous, misleading people with conspiracies and weird theologies and all these fantasies, misleading them. You're a sheep. You also need a shepherd. Not confronting your brother in love and saying, but I've seen you, you know, it's your fifth whiskey, fifth glass, bud. Was that you at the casino? How many times a week are you going? You know? Zechariah 11, 15 to 17. Woe to the worthless shepherd who deserts the flock. This is a huge one. I got a shock. May the Lord strike his arm and right eye. I'm not talking about Elizabeth here. May the Lord strike him. Do not desert his flock. This is someone that is not messing around with his pasture, with his price that he paid, and he's giving a big warning. For anyone that abandons the flock, that's someone that cares, that loves, that goes the distance, that goes the mile. When you're still wondering and asking like Peter, Jesus is saying, will you feed my sheep? Yeah. Listen, will you feed my sheep? Yeah. Listen, I'm telling you again, are you going to feed my sheep? Eventually, you get in understanding that God is not playing around here. And the last one, the hired hand. Is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. Hired hands care about pay, not people. The owner, and that's we see it often, when you don't take ownership and you say, Glenn must just take ownership of the church, or Matt must take ownership, or Mick, or Shane, or Sid, or anyone must just, it's yours, it's not mine. You're becoming a hired person. No, you take ownership. This is also your responsibility. I make a joke with my staff when they mess up my shops and they don't care about it and they don't look after it, I say, did you give birth to this thing? Because when you give birth to something or when you take ownership, you love it, you care for it, you want it. It's like yours. And I say, would you like me to take your child and do this? No. That's what God is trying to communicate you. This is his sheep. This is his flock. This is his pasture. He doesn't take it lightly. And so let's go back now in the scripture. In Luke 2, verse 15, which we read just now, 15 to 16. When these shepherds heard this message, what did they do? They heard and hurried off. Hurried off, the Greek word spiosantis, urgent running. These shepherds know when something big has arrived. These shepherds know that something bigger, something greater, something huge has arrived, and they run. It's late at night. There's no debates, there's no excuses, no theological hesitation. Similar to the disciple that said to Jesus, he said, "Will you come follow me?" "No, no, I must just go and bury my dad, he's dead." And no, don't worry. I've got everything under control. I wonder if they just left their flock because they know that this shepherd that is going to be born is greater than them, and they're running to meet this king. Does Jesus still excite you? Does his message move you to excitement? When you hear about his birth, do you get excited? Or it's yah, yah, blah, 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 like Peter says, blah, blah, blah. Or does it excite you? Do you get up and run? Or do you question the journey, the distance? It's night, I'm tired. I've got money to make tomorrow. I've got things to do. They don't question, they run. What happens afterwards when they see the birth and it's true? They become evangelists. They spread the word. Luke 2 verse 17. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told of them about this child. When you have seen Jesus, the overflow to talk about him. The excitement is there. Do you still want to talk about him? Do you still want to tell people about the coming of Christ, that there's a return coming? Does he excite you? Does he want to make you become a storyteller? Or is the message just every year, same story, presents, blah, blah, blah? The third one is that their return changed. Luke 2, verse 20. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard. Remember what the angel said. Do not be afraid, I bring you good news. Do not be afraid, I bring you good news that will cause great joy. Mate said it just now. Their joy filled them. Their return changed. Joy. Same job, new hearts. They didn't come back sorted with a house and, you know, won the lotto. They've got enough joy in their hearts to go however long. And that was enough for them. That consumed them. Does the message, the word, change you? Or is it year after year, I want to see it again, I need to be reminded? Or in a moment, just like the shepherds, joy came in their hearts. And that's the message of the coming of Christ. It's joy. We're supposed to be joyful. It's good news. And so we realize that all these shepherds that Jesus has been talking about cannot fulfill and be the ultimate shepherd. God had to send the good shepherd. God had to send his son. John 10 verse 11. I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. These shepherds understood the difference between good and bad shepherds. They knew their weaknesses and dependence on a shepherd. These shepherds knew that what they've got to do in order to keep these sheep physically strong, away from danger, green pastures, go to nice water, sleepless nights, when they heard that there's someone better than them, that moved them. Do you know that there is, do you think that there is someone better out there? They knew that they longed for a good shepherd, even though they were shepherds. What does Jesus say? We are all like sheep. We are all sheep that have gone astray. And we also need shepherds. They are frail human beings like all of us, crying late at night how they longed for a shepherd to shepherd them. And we realize that Jesus fulfills every shepherd role that they couldn't. He knows all of us by name. He leads all of us to still waters. When life's gone shaky, when things are not going well, he's not leading you to chaos. That's the bad shepherds. He's bringing you to still waters where you can drink and thirst of him and be satisfied. He's searching for that lost sheep. When we are all committed and we're doing our thing and we're having a poiki and it's lovely and it's all this, he's looking for the lost sheep. He's busy. He's wanting to fill this place with that lost sheep. But he also heals the brokenhearted. Just like the shepherds healed the sheep. He also does that, but he does it better. He's the greatest heart surgeon you'll ever get. He goes for the heart and he changes the heart. And he knows how long you need that little nudge. Maybe you need it for a long, just so he can lift you up and comfort you and care for you. But you want it to be done instantly. But maybe he's so in love with you that he just wants to hold you and care for you and you walk with him through this process. But we want instant gratification, instant healing, instant, everything must just be instant. But sheep learn from us, the sheep will know that that thing's good for them. Just be at bay. He guides with a rod and staff. What a wonderful guide. You think you've got guides that are good. Take you up the mountain, take you on a beautiful guide. This Jesus is the best guide. He's better than Google Maps. He will guide you straight to the place where you want to be. The shepherds would sleep and fall asleep and they would be lazy and hit and be sinful. But Jesus never sleeps nor slumbers. But one thing the shepherds couldn't do, be both shepherd and lamb. Someone had to come in and fulfill that role. And that's where we see Jesus taking role of both shepherd and lamb. And just like the shepherds would have to give sheep to the temple, about 250,000 on Passover for 2.5 million Jews, never in their wildest dreams would they see Jesus being the lamb on the cross and looking at their Savior saying, "We did this to you. We did this. Our sin on the cross." As I hand over to Matt, we can just take communion and reflect on Jesus being both shepherd and lamb.